Let's start in Rome, though, where the man who created a president is now taking on a pope.
The pope is the vicar of Christ on earth, full stop. However, when he goes and talks about politics, that doesn't deal with theology or the church or infallibility. And starting with that mass on the Mexican-U.S. border, the pope has been consistent that all the problems in the world are because of this populist nationalist movement, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Viktor Orban, whether it's Salvini. The pope should stop focusing on free citizens and populist and nationalist and sovereignty movements that are trying to get their countries back and make their countries stronger. And he should start to focus on the metastasizing cancer in the Catholic Church, or we're not going to have an apparatus of the Catholic Church because it's going to be financially liquidated.
They're the fighting words of Steve Bannon, the millionaire publisher who engineered the victory of Donald Trump in 2016. He was warning towards the end there, especially about the danger that the church faces from the clerical sexual abuse crisis, a crisis of its own making. And he's right about that. But does Bannon have another agenda? He's been mobilizing nationalist parties in Europe, and he had some success in the recent European Union elections. But he's also encountered some formidable resistance to his political agenda from Pope Francis. In a recent exposé, the writer and academic Massimo Fagioli looked at Steve Bannon's plan to politicise Catholics and at the Vatican's efforts to thwart him. So what did he find?
He has been very open and forthcoming about it because in the last year he has created a base near Rome where he attempted to create a training camp or school for young intellectuals who want to disrupt the political order in Europe. And to do this, he tried to create not just a campus in a very large monastic complex a few miles from Rome, but also to enroll some cardinals and bishops that are very openly not happy with Pope Francis. In this, there is the clear attempt of Steve Bannon that was connected to the European elections of the end of May to do for the European Union in the European Parliament something similar to what he did in the United States with the election of Donald Trump. And to do that, he did a smart thing, which was to look at the Vatican first, because every historian knows that the idea of the European Union in the 1940s is a Catholic idea.
But what has Steve Bannon said about Pope Francis?
In a series of interviews in these last couple of years, at least, he said that Pope Francis is the enemy for the social political order that he has in mind, which is founded on a view of Islam, which is all of Islam, essentially incompatible with the Western civilization. He has advocated for a new nationalist party, nationalist policies, anti-globalism. And for this, he's right that Pope Francis is the most visible leader for a reform of globalization that doesn't mean destruction of an international order that is based on international institutions, organizations. So he has been very, very open, saying that Pope Francis is the most important representative of the order that Steve Bannon wants to tear down. There has been no secret about that.
Bannon has tried to craft a very specific type of Catholic ideology in the United States. I think you referred to it as Catholic Americanism. Just explain what that is, what it really means in practice.
Right now, there is a new form of Americanism, which is reshaping American conservative Catholic culture in an Americanist way, in the sense that there are Catholics in the States, like Steve Bannon or like Newt Gingrich, the husband of the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See right now, that see that the purest form of Catholicism, the one that can withstand the test of our time and our future, is Catholicism in the United States in its conservative form. That has endorsed openly, publicly, Donald Trump. Steve Bannon, again, Newt Gingrich, and many other Catholic politicians, but also the 60% of white Catholics that in November 2016 voted for Donald Trump and elected him to the presidency.
Now, even though Steve Bannon is a very forceful personality, he knows how to organize. You do say that his campaign in Europe, his campaign to disrupt, if you like, the Vatican agenda, has hit a roadblock. Why is that?
Because I believe that he paid the price of a substantial ignorance of what the Vatican is and what European politics is. In the Vatican, he thought he could find a lot of curial support for his anti-Francis agenda. The fact that is that the Vatican opposition to Pope Francis exists, but is not ideological like Bannon's. It's more institutional, it's more status quo. And second, he misunderstood or ignored some deep-rooted skepticism for everything American in Europe, in the European Union, also among right-wingers who haven't forgotten that Americans in World War II defeated fascism. Many right-wingers in Europe right now, the ones that Steve Bannon wanted to befriend, are still nostalgic of fascism, like Italy, for example, my own country. And so they haven't forgotten that Americans and Australians and Canadians, they liberated Europe from fascism, and they don't trust Americans. They don't like Americans. This is something that he didn't know or he underestimated.
But if he's had problems getting some even anti-Pope Francis clergy on side in Europe, it does appear that he's had some success in mobilizing a certain fringe of the European Catholic population, because aren't there Catholics who form the basis of the pro-Orbán forces in Hungary and also the conservative forces in Poland?
This is true. There's one difference, is that in the United States, a certain Catholic theological conservatism about doctrine on family, marriage, and so on, it perfectly overlaps with political conservatism. So in the United States, conservative Catholics all vote for the Republican Party. In Europe, it is different because you may have Italian Catholics, for example, who now vote for the right-wing party of Matteo Salvini, that are not theologically conservative Catholics. So there is a disconnect. And so there are some Catholics in Europe that vote for Orban, for the right-wing party in Poland, Italy, France, but are not particularly interested in the Catholic theological conservatism, which is integral part of the political conservatism of Catholics in the United States.
I mean, you say that Matteo Salvini in Italy has not really said anything about abortion, which would be a major difference with conservative Catholics in the United States.
Absolutely. I mean, not only he hasn't said anything, he said openly that no one in his party has any interest in changing the law that legalized abortion in Italy in the late 1970s. And so here there is a very different way of articulating political conservatism, which is on the rise in Europe in the form of nationalism, anti-immigrant, anti-Islam, that's undoubtedly there. But Italy or Europe at large does not have the movement of a neo-traditionalist conservatism that is typical of the United States.
Given Steve Bannon's very public criticisms of Pope Francis, how has the Vatican responded to Bannon?
They are not elevating Steve Bannon. There's no question that Pope Francis is answering in his own way. So, for example, next week there will be a liturgy in the Vatican to celebrate the anniversary of Pope Francis' visit to Lampedusa 6 years ago, which will be a special liturgy for migrants and for those who help migrants. So this is a very clear signal that the Vatican knows what's at stake and they are not willing to be silent or to pretend that there's not a big battle for the soul of Europe and what kind of Christianity Europe wants to be part of.
That's writer Massimo Fagioli, who's also a professor at Villanova University in the US. There's a link to Massimo's piece in La Croix and to another revealing article by Robert Mickens, also in La Croix, at the Religion and Ethics Report homepage at the RN website. And you're with Andrew West.